money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Strong show today, man. Zach Cohen, last 30 minutes. Awesome info there. Mike Palm from Circa coming up at the bottom of the hour. And here, it's an absolute treat as professional poker player and NFL Las Vegas football contest winner David Baker joins us in studio today. Good to see you again, sir. How are you?
I'm excellent. I know Paulie and I have been talking for a couple weeks. He's been trying to get me on. I love coming on with you guys. It's the middle of poker season, so thrilled that I could have a few minutes to talk to you guys about poker and football and everything else.
Well, first of all, you look amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
So good. Congratulations on losing. I don't know, even know how much.
Yeah, lost about 60 pounds.
Oh,
I figured I was going to lose it one place or another, either above ground or below ground. So
why not here?
Better do it above ground. So,
and you just recently won your fourth bracelet at the World Series of Poker, which is amazing. Yep. What is that feeling like when you're on the verge of taking down a bracelet?
Yeah, it's kind of different than everything else. I've learned over the years how to just tune out everything and just focus on where I am at the moment. And you know, while I'm playing, I'm just so dialed into what's going on here, there, trying to be respectful of the other players and the rail and the people who have come to support me, but just really focusing on what my job is. And I was able to do that and really just kind of drown out the noise and bring it home again. But I'm thankful for every opportunity that I have. Some of them work out and some of them don't. And sometimes it's not even a matter of if you played your best sometimes on ones that don't work out. And sometimes you got a little lucky on the way to the winner's circle. But this one, I think I did a little bit of both. So I'm thrilled with the result, obviously.
Were you all in with sixes against kings?
Yes, I was all in three-handed with sixes versus kings. But I was all in versus the same guy two other times, and he got lucky on me, so I felt like it was kind of my time to get lucky on him. But yeah, I mean, to win a poker tournament, you have to get lucky sometimes. Sometimes getting lucky is having the worst of it and winning, and sometimes getting lucky is just winning with the best of it multiple times over. I mean, people think they're supposed to win every time they're 60-40 or 70, 70-30 or even 80-20, and you know, odds are if you get it in five times at 80-20, you should lose one. So, I mean,
it's like betting baseball every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Right. I mean, same thing, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, anything in life that you're dealing with probabilities, just to win on the plus side. I mean, just running a casino. I mean, they have the odds are in their favor every day, but there are days that they lose. There are days that people go on tremendous runs and things. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm thankful for the opportunity that I had and for actually winning. This one meant a lot to me.
A lot of great interviews out there after you won. What does giving back to the game entail, and why is that so important to you?
Well, there's a lot of people out there that play poker, and everybody can kind of do what they want with their voice in poker. And I'm very supportive of all the people out there that don't want to use a voice. They just want to play poker and they want to sit in the background and they want to do their thing, and that's fine. And there are some people like myself that I love this game. I love what poker has given me for an opportunity to provide for my family. I like to try to be supportive of the poker industry because there's a lot of great things that the poker industry does that poker people do. There are a lot of people that just give back in poker. And so I try to use my voice out there to make positive statements towards our world, towards the poker world, and trying to grow the game. And I'm just thankful that not only do I have a voice, but people listen to it and they value it. And I think I'm pretty pragmatic with a lot of things, and I can think of things from multiple perspectives, which sometimes it's hard in this industry. Everything, in all industries, to be honest, I mean, people want to look at things and that they're cut and dry. It's kind of not how life works. I mean, there's a lot of gray area. So I try to be a positive voice for our industry.
Good for you, because I mean, in this racket, you know, that we do every single day here, sports betting, for example, like sports betting, social media is just absolutely, it's pure garbage.
Yeah, very toxic.
Yeah.
I go down that rabbit hole every once in a while, especially when, your fearless leader over here at Circa, Jeff Benson, tweets things out. I go back and kind of see what that's in response to, because I find him extremely humorous and also smart and kind of just a good voice for the industry. So I go back and every once in a while I'll go down those rabbit holes and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm not in this rabbit hole of cesspool of garbage that's kind of out there in media with the sports betting. And when I say media, I mean kind of just the social media of the, all that stuff. But there's also a lot of great things out there in the space. I mean, I'm very thankful what Circa, gives us an opportunity to do as sports bettors. This is the place where I choose to give my business to when I bet sports. I think that they do a great job over here. So
I saw this, I think it was last year, 2 years ago with Negreanu when he won. I think it was the $50,000 buy-in, and he was very emotional. Why were you so emotional after your fourth bracelet?
Yeah, so, I've had multiple great wins in my career, but this one kind of hit different. First of all, it was a lot of money. I mean, I won $650,000. Mm-hmm. But I think, when I won earlier in my life and being out there, no matter what you do in life, you can kind of, whether you're a salesman or a lawyer or a teacher, you get bonuses, you get promotions, you get things. And, you're in your 30s and that money's just immediately accounted for. It goes to your kids. You're going to education. It's going towards alimony. I mean, I'm on my second marriage, which a lot of people out there are. It's on, remodeling the bathroom that a pipe burst, all that money is just gone immediately. And I have an amazing wife. You guys both have met her. She's been very supportive of me throughout my life in poker. And all the money that I've made, I've basically sent out to our kids, to our home, yes, we've lived a great life and we've gone on a couple nice vacations and bought some things, but we don't live extravagantly. And now that I'm in my 50s, it's like most of that stuff's behind me. So it just kind of overwhelmed me with the fact that now she's going to get to be taken care of. We're going to be able to use this money for us and not like just promoting the rat race of the world that I live in and the responsibilities that I have as an adult and a father and a husband. I didn't even realize that it was going to hit me that way. I've only, cried a couple times in my poker career. And this is the first one after like a big win. But I guess sometimes when you just put everything and you put your heart into it, and I didn't realize it was going to come out that way, but it did. And I'm kind of thankful that it did. And if you haven't seen, you can go back on my Twitter and see PokerGo put out a nice video. I got real emotional afterwards. It kind of shows that, we're human. We're out there, and even though we're gambling and we're also putting it on the line every day. And, I put my money up, and most of the time it ends in disappointing. And if you can't just truly love and benefit from these great days, then what's it all for?
Great answer.
Good job.
That's a phenomenal answer, Dave.
Very good. Excellent. Can we talk about the controversy in 3 minutes, or does it need more time?
Sure.
Can we do it in three minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these guys are heads up for a bracelet. One guy has a 9-1 chip lead, but the guy who was at the disadvantage was in line to get $1 million bonus from the World Poker Tour. Can you fill us in what happened here?
Yeah. So basically what happened is the World Poker Tour and the World Series of Poker, they're kind of at a turf war. They're looking for the players, and they've both done things to try to garner more market share. The World Series of Poker, they kind of own the summer. The World Poker Tour kind of owns the winter with their big festivals at both. The World Series of Poker kind of infringed on that a little bit a couple years ago and put a big competing tour opposite of the World Poker Tour. So now the World Poker Tour kind of played back at them, and they put $1 million prize if certain people won certain events. Kind of everybody's at fault for this, to be honest. The World Poker Tour putting this, they knew what they were doing. They put this bonus out there. They knew that this had a high probability of happening. The World Series of Poker, they kind of have to accept a little bit of responsibility. They should have seen this coming. Us as players, we knew that this was going to happen, whether it was this final table or a future one. They probably should have taken steps to make a more pronounced statement ahead of time that, hey, this stuff won't be tolerated. Then I think it would have kind of played out a little different. And the players, you know, the players should have probably seen this coming too. So it's kind of a sad day and a black mark on the poker world, but at the same time, it kind of opens up some questions and some things that, some topics that we do need to discuss, deal making and things like that. I don't think this necessarily goes down to a lot of, I've seen a lot of poker players talk about the deal making aspect, and we do play for a lot of money, and it's very luck oriented near the end of tournaments sometimes, and you're playing for a lot of money, and should there be some facilitation of deals to make things a little bit more fair when it comes to the distribution of the prizes? This really wasn't about deal making. This was about a third party adding an incentive for one player versus another player. So it kind of made it an uneven playing field. So it's kind of, there's a lot of things that if you're not really into the situation, it's kind of harder to digest. But I'm hoping that we as a poker industry just come out better, you know, because of it. But it was kind of a rough situation.
Okay.
Egregious chip dumping. Yes. Yeah.
More with David Baker up next. Loves betting the NFL. Has won a football contest in recent years. We'll go over that. We'll go over Grandissimo, Survivor. Who is he high on this year? Which team is he going to refuse to buy into? All next here on VSiN. We continue here with professional poker player David Baker. Just won his fourth bracelet at the World Series of Poker. He's also won a football contest here in town not too long ago. Same year, you guys won the Westgate Super Contest, and you almost pulled off Circa Millions. What is that now, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, it was the COVID year.
Okay.
So whatever year that was.
Okay, 2020. So you're also involved with Survivor Sweat. They've been on the show several times. James, who came up with the idea of Survivor Sweat, thinks we're going to get 20,000 people involved in Circa Survivor this year. $1,000 an entry. You can get 10 per person. Last year got to 14.2 million as the overall pot. Does it get to 20,000 in your opinion?
I mean, 20,000 would be an amazing growth from last year, but 20,000 is definitely within the realm of possibility. I think it's a little optimistic, but hey, I mean, as somebody who loves the Survivor contest and obviously is working with Survivor Sweat, I'm hoping that we do hit that $20 million range. I'm sure Derek and Jeff are also hoping that we reach that $20 million plateau. But it, you know, if it does 15 or 17 million, I think it'll be a massive success, especially with the other things that they're offering this year here. And I know we're going to get to that, but I don't know how much money that takes out of the $1,000 contest and puts into other arenas.
Do you plan on getting into Grandissimo, the $100,000 buy-in?
Yes. My partner and I, Mark Gregorich, we will have at least one entry in the Grandissimo, and we'll be, you know, selling some shares. If you want to ride with us, I'm not quite baller enough to do the full $100,000. So we'll have a majority stockholdership in an entry, and we'll sell some pieces either through Survivor Sweat or off, you know, if you want to reach out to me independently, I'll sell you some. And then also I know Survivor Sweat is planning on having a couple of entries themselves, and I'll take a small piece of that with, you know, Russ and Mike being the primary pickers with those entries. But yeah, I'm excited for that. Anything contest related, I think is just, it's the future. I mean, it's kind of, it's a way for us to sweat the entire season without having to, you know, constantly be funding accounts and
be in front of the screen and on Twitter all day, checking injuries, yes, and sitting there for 16 hours a day and grinding it out just to get, you know, half a point here on a game that plays on a Thursday night.
For sure. And on top of it, you get that season long sweat, and and you're never really out of it. And the great thing about Survivor Sweat is if things go awry and you're out, you can buy back in. And so, you know, we encourage if you don't know anything about Survivor Sweat, please go check it out. It's basically a marketplace that you can go to buy and sell equity in Survivor shares. So as the season goes on, you get deeper, your entry's worth more. So you can list your entry and you can, you know, basically remove some of your exposure that you have and garner some of the profits. And if you want to buy back in, if you lost some, or if you want to hedge, like we saw last year, you know, an entry was bought as a simple means to hedge when they got super deep. So
that was wild.
Yeah. There's a lot of great things out there, with the contest space. And, every year there gets to be more and more content out there, which is creating more awareness. And I know that we're expecting a lot of big things over at Survivor Sweat this year. I think last year was kind of, we started to see some growth, and this year we're expecting some real explosion.
Well, as a former winner, what do you think about the changes at the Westgate as well? Now the contest becomes $1,500 entry fee and a $5,000 Survivor, plus they've added a college contest.
Well, the college contest, I don't really know that much about. I'll have to look into that. But as far as the pro contest, I mean, we'll be involved in Westgate. As being a former winner, I think it's important to try to support them as well. I'm kind of jealous that Fezzik gets to be the only two-time winner, and I would like to be a two-time winner of that contest. So I am going to try that as well. But I'll be honest, the heart and soul is here at Circa. Most of my money will be in the Circa contest. That's where the big prizes are. That's where my money will mostly go. I definitely will be maxing out the Survivor and probably maxing out Millions as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, you know, I love it. I'm very hard into poker right now, and that's it. But when July 17th comes and the World Series is over, it will be all contest football oriented stuff for me.
Really? Okay. So the two most popular picks in week one, if we can get, let's pretend it's July 18th right now. Okay. Washington plays the Giants and the Broncos are hosting Tennessee. Do you anticipate being on one of those two big favorites in week one, or do you want to stay away from that?
I mean, as a general rule, I'm going to try to fade the mega chalk. I think strategies for the Grandissimo versus the Millions are a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day in the Circa contest, you've got to pick 20 winners. So I don't know necessarily how cute I'm going to try to get week one. You really think people are like, okay, well, 30% of the people are out week one if the Broncos lose. But all those people are going to be out anyway. They're going to lose in other weeks. So I'm not necessarily that worried about trying to get ahead of them. But I will try to find spots where I think I can gain some leverage on the field. But also, you know, you need to account for what my preseason ratings are for teams and what kind of value I assess them down the line. I'm big on trying to leave myself as many paths as possible because we don't know how this year is going to play out. Like last year, one of our first week picks, we picked the Tampa Bay Bucks to beat the Washington Commanders because we thought the Commanders were going to be terrible and the Bucks were going to be bad, and we wanted to get them out of the way. Well, we were wrong. And at the end of the season, having the Bucks as an option was really a very big feather to have in your cap. And we were wrong on the Commanders. They ended up being really good. So you can only know so much at the beginning. So Leaving yourselves as many paths as possible is kind of something we're looking for.
Great timing that you came in today. The main event is underway. I'm shocked at how popular this is, but they got over 10,000 players last year. First place was $10 million. What do you expect from the main event this year?
Well, all the projections leading into the World Series were it was probably going to be down with the state of getting in and out of the country being somewhat in flux. But we haven't seen that at the World Series at all. I think we've seen a very strong showing from the foreign contingent, and all the numbers across the World Series are up. So even though I thought we would not break the 10,000 barrier before the year started, I think we're going to actually set a record this year. I think we will top last year's. I think it was 10,100 yes. and change last year.
Yes.
I'm going to say that we're going to beat it. I'm not sure by how much, but I'd say 10,500 is definitely within the realm of possibility. It kind of goes on both sides of July 4th. So if you wanted to play before July 4th, then go home for a couple days and come back for your day two, you could do that. If you wanted to stay at home before July 4th and then come on out on July 5th, you can still do that. There also is day two registration. Because the World Series is a very slow structure, you can register on day two. And so you can register on July 6th or 7th. So if you're more of a working person out there that can't get as many days off, you can do that as well.
How many more events are you going to be playing, or are there left?
Yeah, I'm going in to play today. There's a $10,000 eight-game mix. I will be playing that probably about 4 o'clock our time.
Okay.
I'm going all straight right there. And I'll be playing the main probably July 5th. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I will play every event that I can between now and the last day. I love the World Series more than anything in poker. It's my favorite time of year. It's my favorite thing to do, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to do it every year, and I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm going to be out there in the poker streets.
Great job, too, with the fantasy draft. That is popular. That's very popular, what you guys do.
Thank you. Thank you. I take pride in that, too. Daniel Negreanu, obviously probably the face of poker, started a fantasy league years ago, and I kind of piggybacked and made a smaller version of his fantasy league. And all the details are on my Twitter or X, AUDavidB. You can follow that. But yeah, I have a smaller version of fantasy poker, and I'm starting to do a lot more content out there. I'm going to be doing some extra content for Survivor Sweat. I started my own podcast, Gamble Up podcast, so you can find that on all your podcatchers, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and I'll be recording another one here in a couple of days, kind of detailing some things at the World Series. And then during football season, we're really going to go hard on football content. So if you like the things that I talk about, then come on over to Gamble Up podcast and check us out over there as well.
Excellent. Thanks for coming in. Good luck later today, David Baker. Join the world's biggest football contest with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts. Winner Circle Proxy helps clients win over $9 million the last two seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VEASAN.
Great show today. Thanks to David Baker for joining us for the previous half hour. We could have him on for a full show. Here, Mike Palm joins the program now every Wednesday at this time. It is Wednesdays with the Maestro. He is the VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and also the D. Good to see you, Mike. How are you today?
Hello, Mitch. Hello, Paul. How are you? Busy day.
Very busy day. You are on the American Gaming Association board, correct?
I sure am.
Okay, so we have to talk about this today. This has been taking off on social media, and you're a perfect person to talk about this. I will relay this message via Twitter from Phil Galford, who's also a pro poker player. He said, look, you need to have your head on a swivel here and pay attention to this because your voice needs to be heard. It's called the Big Beautiful Bill, for those who don't know this, right? If this passes starting in 2026, gambling losses and expenses will only be 90% deductible. And he says what it means in plain English. If you win $100,000 and lose $100,000, you will owe taxes on $10,000 of, quote, phantom income. If you win $100,000 and lose $50,000, you actually profited $50,000, but you will owe tax on $55,000. He keeps going on and on and on and on. What can you tell us about this if it passes?
Well, you know, Derek and I have a call with Chris Silkey, who's the VP of Legislative Affairs for the AGA, to discuss our reaction to this sort of being put in the Big Beautiful Bill. I don't want to say last minute, but late in the process, and then getting past the Senate with J.D. Vance breaking the tie, now heads to the House. So we want to understand the full ramifications of this. Obviously, this is not a great thing for the state of Nevada, people who are gamblers, and businesses in the state of Nevada that rely on gambling. Now, I'm trying to read as much as I can about it. Bill Spiros, who many people will know as a well-respected gaming analyst, points out that this does not affect professional gamblers. Those people that claim gambling as their limit, as their living, can still write off 100% of their losses as a business expense. This would apply to anyone that cannot list gambling as their living, which is a lot of people, right? So I'm interested to hear what the AGA has to say. Chris Silke has indicated to us that he wants to hear our opinion on how it will affect customer behavior. There's obviously a lot of hand-wringing online right now. I know they put out a communique to us about weigh it against the slot tax threshold going from 1,200 to 2,000 in this bill. You know, the majority of taxable jackpots are between 12 and 1,500, right? Mm. This is a big deal. Now, we wanted to get it to 5,000, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. 7,500. But realistically, the goal was to get it to 5,000. But all when you think about that over 70% of them are between 12 and 1,500, this has a big effect on taxables as well. So when you look at this bill, if you destroyed the bill for this one provision, is it worth extending the Trump tax cuts and raising the slot threshold? I don't know, but there'll be interesting discussions in the days ahead. Derek's reached out to Dina Titus. Obviously, she came out this morning saying, you know, now it's up to the House of Representatives, right? It's passed the Senate.
Right.
Now, will the House pass this as is? She says, no, we have to fight this provision about the 90% write-off. So she's going to do everything she can. I know there's others in the House. We've reached out to Guy Reschenthaler, who's the Republican whip, who heads the gaming caucus from Pennsylvania. So more to come as this develops, obviously.
Can I ask you, are you willing to share what your conversations have been like off the air with somebody like Derek Stevens or what your text messages have looked like?
It's very concerning. It's very concerning about how are customers affected, specifically sports bettors who maybe aren't pros but bet a lot. Most poker players can claim a professional. If that's what Bill Spiros is saying, it doesn't affect them if they're a professional poker player. It's still a standard business write-off. But I think it affects the sports industry particularly.
If this goes through, it would start when?
I'm still trying
to figure out the details on that.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure out the details, but obviously trying to get ahead of this and before at least August 1st.
Sounds like a fun phone call that you have coming up a little bit later on today.
Yeah, squeezed in between a lot of other meetings.
Let's keep on the fly. Coming. Illinois, this?
Pennsylvania.
While you were away.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Another big one. Yeah. And the people listening, by the way, from that state are like, our taxes are already absurd.
You're just going to keep putting enough pressure on the balloon until it bursts and it's over. We were hoping, obviously, to get the excise tax eliminated. That's not happening. He had to fight not to raise it to go from 0.25%. They wanted to take it up to 0.5%. I mean, it's been a fight all the way.
If you were to wipe away all the, quote, sharp handle that you get here from a sports betting, from a sports book perspective, like, what does that do overall to your right? If you only took public money.
Well, the only place we really take public money is here in Nevada, right? Because we have the attraction. We have to get our tech better and develop our product in other states more in order to get recreational money, because all we get is the sharp handle because of the limits that we're going to take, right? And that we do take action from educated bettors. We'd go to no right in those states. I mean, you take away a little. And then, of course, here, you take away a significant portion of it in the state of Nevada. Right? Wow. The accounts that have millions in them are not the recreational accounts.
No, I would think not. And I'm guessing that you have more than a handful of accounts that have $1 million in there or more.
Dozens.
Dozens, yeah. Okay. You're a big NHL guy, big Major League Baseball guy as well. Did anything happen this week in the NHL? Because we were live on the air when the modern news came down. I grabbed a little Golden Knights 10-1 to win the cup. Did anything happen to you where, like, I need to make a bet right now?
No, I don't know. I have my opinions have been set on these teams already. And I did take some small money on a few longer shots. You know, I've been eyeing the Ducks for several years.
Yeah.
I dipped my toe in at 125-1. They made a huge 21-point improvement. I also bet them to make the playoffs at a positive number. I was interested in Barry Trotz's statement, who's now GM of the Predators, asking why they didn't make more moves. And he said, we built this team to win, and we're confident that this team will win. We had a year to get out of the way of our headspace and working together as a team don't bet against this team. I thought those were interesting comments. I took a little of them at 45-1. And I really believe this Canadiens team is one or two players away from making a deep run in the playoffs. So I took a little of them at 55-1. All three of these teams to make the playoffs, yes, at a positive price.
Canadiens, huh? Close? They're closing in?
I think this is a really good young team. They have a great atmosphere there in Montreal. They can't wait to have a winner again. We saw how hard they pressed the Caps in the playoffs. I think this team's close. Good young stars. Young core.
I'll ask you about this with the Golden Knights. I was going down like a rabbit hole on X the other day to some of the breaking news, right, with the trade. Nick Waugh going back to Toronto. And people were saying, from the Toronto perspective, right, who watched Marner play for several years, they're like, let me tell you right now, Vegas fans, enjoy it in the regular season. Have fun in February, March, and April. But I'm telling you, get ready for disappointment in June.
We heard the same thing about Eichel, didn't we? Didn't we hear the same thing when we got Eichel?
Yeah. Well, same thing.
You got a guy that was not a good locker room guy. They never won anything in Buffalo. What are you going to do with the Jack Eichel? I think it's sort of similar here. I think it might be a different culture. And you don't have all that pressure that you do up there in Toronto, where everybody, where the whole media is willing to jump down your throat every time there's a hiccup.
Very good. Who was it who said, was it Bennett or, no, it was Tkachuk. If you switch teams, they'd win it every year.
Yes.
If they played here where there's no media, they'd win it every year.
Yes, that's exactly a good point. What he said. Yeah. There's no pressure.
That's right. Yeah. But also, Vegas is a proven winner and a great organization, and even a bad season is getting maybe to the second round or they find a way to get to the conference finals, and we know the history of the Maple Leafs.
I mean, you have to tip your cap to the organization.
Yeah.
They go for it single year.
Yeah.
They're not afraid to change. They're not afraid to mix it up.
Oh, they take massive swings for the fences almost every offseason.
They just changed the president, right? They just changed Kerry Buchholz out, brought the guy in from the Vikings. You're right. They take swings.
Yeah. So I know this here, you guys went to like 7-1 or plus 750 on them. I'm guessing the assumption was, well, I mean, after this trade for Marner, we'll take bets on whatever number we post, so we don't have to have 10-1 up on them.
No, you take bets whatever number you post anyhow, but then you want to take bets from more than just the locals as well.
All right, we saw Beverly yesterday. She was ecstatic that the shower lived up to the hype, absolutely. Met that crew, and everyone loves the all-in package. Everyone we talked to this week was staying here. Bad beat for our guy, though, who had the cabana yesterday. What a tough beat with the weather.
For Cody. Bad beat refunds there, Mike, with the weather yesterday?
I don't know. That's the empathy package.
That's right. Go all in. Circa Las Vegas, the ultimate getaway. $400, two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, which our friend from Japan took advantage of. Your own day bet at Stadium Swim. Irv got that. $400, limited time through September 4th. Lock it in now. Your all-in summer package. CircaLasVegas.com, whether you want the cabana, a booth here at the beautiful sports book, CircaLasVegas.com. Go all in at Circa.
Yeah, for those who don't know what we're joking about, obviously you don't live here. It's monsoon season a little bit early, and yesterday was a doozy outside with the rain, with the desert blowing all over. It looks like we had a haboob in town.
Traffic lights out.
Downtown, a total mess with the traffic lights. You're right, Paul. So, of all days to come here and get the cabana, that happened. All right. Up next, we'll get into today's Major League Baseball card with Mike, and also the WNBA gives us a new definition of charity. You cannot be serious. Next here with Mike Palm. We have breaking news in the NBA. It is a done deal, according to Shams over at ESPN. DeAndre Ayton has agreed to sign with the Los Angeles Lakers. So between Portland and LA next year, Ayton will earn $34 million. The Lakers get their big guy. It's time now for You Cannot Be Serious with Mike Palm.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, as we know, the NBA has a midseason tournament now where the players have a chance to earn $500,000 each. Very impactful to the guys maybe down towards the end of the bench. The WNBA's answer has been, and preceding the NBA midseason tournament, the Commissioner's Cup, where teams compete during the regular season in certain games designated for this tournament. And then there's a championship game held, which does not count against your record. Only the first five games that are designated as part of the Commissioner's Cup. Well, this year, the two qualifiers were the Indiana Fever and the Minnesota Lynx. Indiana, who is 8-8, went 5-0 in their Commissioner Cup games. And Minnesota, who is 14-2, went 4-1. So Minneapolis hosted the game last night, and the Fever still without Caitlin Clark, who's nursing a groin injury. There were two big upsets last night. Commissioner Kathy Engelbert did not wear a dress featuring the Minneapolis skyline. That was the first upset of the night.
Small.
The second upset being the Indiana Fever dominated the Lynx. Not the best game for Fee. They went on a huge scoring run at the end of the second period. Lynx only scored 7 in the second and handily defeated the Lynx. Now, what was on the line? Since the game doesn't count towards the team's records, we know $500,000 for the men. Well, here's the difference. The winners got $30,000 each plus $5,000 in cryptocurrency, while the losers got $10,000 each plus $5,000 in cryptocurrency. So the Lynx got $30,000. They were playing for $20,000 a person, and the MVP got an additional $5,000. So Natasha Howard of the Fever walked away with $35,000. Now, there's an interesting twist to this. Each team got to designate a charity, okay? And the winner got a donation of $10,000 to the charity of their choosing. The loser got a donation of $5,000 to the charity of their choosing. Now, the Fever got a donation of $10,000 to the Peace Learning Center in Indianapolis, which is a center which teaches anger management skills to more marginalized communities, things like that. The goal of it is conflict resolution before things turn to violence. Okay, I never heard of it. Fine. Now the Lynx charity. You know, when I think of charity, you know, I think of Opportunity Village, Catholic Charities, Red Cross. Who did the Lynx give their $5,000 to? What a needy charity. The ACLU of Minnesota. The ACLU of Minnesota was their charity. You can't even write it off. A donation to the political lobbying agency. Well, it's a 503C. So it technically is considered a charity. What a great job here to the happy couple, Cheryl Reeve, the head coach, and Carly Knox, the president of business operations. WNBA!
You cannot be serious!
Good All friend. Right. Yeah, that was funny. I can't believe the odds of this. Somebody should have posted the odds of this. Are you following this Diamondbacks fan that got kicked out for the rest of the year?
No.
Oh, you haven't seen this story?
What happened?
You have no idea. So, Monday night, they're playing the Giants, all right? In the eighth inning, now this is a fan that has seats like in the front row of left center field. The Giants' Kristen Cost hits a ball to the wall. The fan reaches out and grabs the ball ahead of the Diamondbacks defender, right? The center field or whatever, and catches the ball right over his glove. The umpires on the field ruled out for fan interference. Okay? The fan came over. Arizona challenged it. Excuse me, the Giants challenged it. And the replay showed that all the ball was not going out, the center fielder wasn't going to catch the ball, so they instead ruled it a ground rule double. The fan was ejected from the park. Here's some oh by the ways. Oh by the way, this fan, Dave McCaskill, did catch a home run ball in the sixth inning off Lourdes Gurriel. You got to see. We can't show the video. Go to John Boy, the breakdown he does. This is the fourth consecutive season that this fan has been involved in an umpire review for interference.
I saw that. Wow.
In 2022, 23, 24, and now 25, he has interfered four straight years. Or at least there's been reviews that he possibly interfered. You know what he said? That's just one of my things. I go for the balls. Finally now, this is the third time he's been ejected by the Diamondbacks. Finally, after the third time of being ejected, I said, they're going to bar him for life. No, he's suspended the rest of the year. He can come back to this club and his seats next year if he agrees not to do it anymore. The guy said, I'm unapologetic for it. His name is Dave McCaskill. He's pictured there with Mike Hazen, the GM of the Diamondbacks. I mean, after you ejected the guy the second time and he was involved in three fan interference reviews in Major League Baseball, you think you'd either move him five rows back or kick him out. Arizona Diamondbacks!
You cannot be serious!
How bad was this NHL draft Friday night? Did you guys try to follow this? I call it the COVID. They had everybody stay home except the draftees. It was just Stormy and the panel in LA with the players they thought were going to be drafted. And then back home in the war rooms were the executives of the teams trying to have a conversation with the player they just drafted through Stormy. And the tech was terrible. I was texting Stormy during it. She said, I'm slowly dying here. I mean, it was never. I talked to three people that covered the draft that are NHL writers that were here over the week. They said they can't do it. Never, never again like this.
That's a tough assignment. Who's going to be drafted? And then the technical, what you said. Yeah.
Well, some of the people weren't even there, of course. Right? When they and that's one of them I want to talk about. How about the 20th pick for Columbus? Did you follow this? This kid, Pyotr Andrianov, this 18-year-old Russian goaltender, he was ranked 7th amongst goalies and anywhere from 57th to 95th overall, and they picked him 20th. You know, I mean, I get it. He has a lot of potential, and his stats are gaudy, but the Russian minor league is not compared to the North American minor leagues. There were guys in the three of them from the Canadian minor league system that all went in the top 60 that you would have thought they would have picked before him. I don't know what Don Waddell was thinking. And even if you take this away and say he was a stretch, why pick him at 20? You could have traded down a whole round and still picked this kid. It really defies it to me. Now, here's the kicker, Mitch. You know the first time you'll be able to play for Columbus? 2031. He's under contract in Russia for the next 6 years.
You're kidding.
Come on.
He's under contract in Russia.
He can't get
for the next 6 years. Every story I read said 2031, maybe 2032, you'll see him in the NHL. That's what you're going to spend the 20th pick on? Columbus Blue Jackets.
You cannot be serious. Wow.
Very good job. Excellent, as always. You love Major League Baseball as well, betting on the sport.
Until Friday, but go ahead.
Okay. Mike, are they begging us to bet the Brewers tonight? Second game, doubleheader.
I'm not going to follow
this. You're not going to lay $1.12 with Mizorowski?
I have him for Rookie of the Year. And so that's my sweat. I don't need to bet him again. I will continue to watch him every day. I feel like it's a trap here. I feel like this is a big trap. The Mets are playing terribly. They rallied today. They crushed him again today. You know, I love the Brewers. It's a big trap for me. I'm just going to appreciate the kid pitching.
Here's my comparison. Didn't it feel like a trap yesterday with all that sharp money coming in on Colorado? At home against the hottest team in baseball,
yes.
Houston?
Yes.
By the way, I added Houston at 6-1 to win the American League. I just look at this rotation in a short series. They're going to be a tough out. If you get to the Tigers, you can get off it and monetize the ticket. I mean, they're getting a great pitching performance every day.
Almost every night.
Framber in his first 8 starts had an ERA over 5, and he was 1-4. And now his ERA is like 2-3. It's almost impossible the run he's been on. Hunter Brown but he's got no shot because of Skubal. I mean, and every young kid they bring up here seems to be able to know what he's doing. They don't. If they score 3 runs in a game, they're a big favorite to win it. The Astros
right now, the way the pitching's going, sure. Anything else you like today?
I like the Yankees first 5 under.
All right,
With Will Allen and Berrio. That's a huge series there in Toronto. What a nice setting. A 4-game series. You got a day game yesterday because of Canada Day. I like the Phillies to bounce back with Sanchez against the Padres tonight. Well, laid $1.48.
Yep. Good pick.
And I don't know how you can't bet the Rangers and Eovaldi tonight.
Yep. Good pick.
Yeah, I laid $1.35 there.
Concur.
That's my lineup today.
Pitchers on Milwaukee. Woodruff going to come back?
He's big on them.
What do you got him at?
I got him everywhere. I got him 25-1 to win the National League, plus +475 to win the Central. It's them and the Cubs. The Cardinals are going to turn into a pumpkin.
I did not realize this. I think it was Rich on Twitter who reminded us. They just got swept by the Pirates. They didn't score a run. The whole series, they didn't score a single run.
Well, the Pirates just outscored the Mets 30-4 over the weekend. Meanwhile, we're looking at a Marlins-Pirates National League Championship. How about these Marlins?
8 in a row. Got me yesterday. Joe Ryan was fantastic.
He made one mistake.
I know.
Why do you challenge? What about challenge the hit batter?
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. Did you see the only run for the Marlins?
No.
Hits the guy leading off the bottom of the second. 0-2 pitch. Hits him. They challenge that he stuck his arm out. All right, bring him back for first. Next pitch, home run. They lose 1-0.
Incredible.
That was it. That was the whole game.
Cabrera was good.
Somebody's got to pick this guy up if the Marlins are willing to deal him. This guy's on the top of my – I'd pick up Quantrill, too. I'd get them both in a deal.
Well, unless they start, they win 18 games in the month of July and they're suddenly
play on July 1st, the Marlins are ahead of the Braves. Just think about that.
Oh, my God, yeah. Great appearance today, Mike.
Thank you.
Good luck with your meeting today with the American.
Tough following David Baker.
He was very good.
very, very good.
And up next, we'll discuss the NFL. Our betting guide was released yesterday. Ryan Heath had some terrific analysis on bets for the upcoming season. Wait until you hear his breakdown on a wide receiver season-long yards prop coming up next.